take our Bibles, make our declaration that this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Anybody saw the paper, the Gadon paper? Well, they have the top graduates, but on the back side, Miss Gail, you saw it, I'm sure. You didn't look at the paper. Look, Miss Gail, she's like, what did I not do?
Yeah.
Andrew was in the paper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he didn't see it. That's okay.
I'll read the paper.
You read the paper. You go
ahead. Time.
Andrew spoke last Sunday was the service for the graduates, where all the graduates that go from church to church, that can handle that crowd. There's a lot of, they had 40-something graduates, I think Gadon had, which is the biggest number in a long time. So that, really, that is great. 48. So they had 48 graduates. And so that's great. That is a great part. But all the pastors are represented, all the churches are represented. And someone from each church goes and they speak. And so Andrew went and spoke for me. So, and he did a great job. They took a picture of him and stuff. And so he did great. So, amen. You know, praise God with that. Good things happening. Mona's son graduated. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I forgot about that. Okay. Wow, that's exciting. What's his plans for the future? Did he say?
He's going to be going to college in
State Corporate. Wow. That's great. Hey, look. You know, God is a good God. Amen. That's good. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look at start with just the first verse, and it says this: And it came to pass after that the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, David here in 2 Samuel, we know God raised up David to be the king of Israel. And it took a long process for David to finally come in that position and take that rightful place that God had set up, you know, for him. David was supposed to be, was probably going to be the first king over Israel that God was going to set over them. David, we know in reading this in 2 Samuel, we know that David made some mistakes or sinned. We know, and the Bible doesn't leave it out. It says, and you can read it later, how David, you know, with Bathsheba, he saw her bathing on the rooftop, whatever, and he found out who she was and had her husband killed, which was a soldier in the army, and how David had plotted the evil. That's evil. To plot the killing of someone and to plot someone's husband to be killed so you can have his wife. That's evil. Now, that it does say that God was a man, that David was a man after God's own heart. No. And you see how, you know, we battle against the flesh. We battle against those things. But David had plotted to kill Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, and how he talked to the leaders of the army to put him right in the front of the battle. Because they know the ones that were right in the front usually were killed when they went into battle, usually. And so he wrote letters and had them come in, and he said, put this man right in the front and have him killed. And that's what happened. And he was killed. And God doesn't leave it out in Samuel. He talks about how what David did, how he killed that Sheba's husband, how he did it, you know, how he tried to cover it up. And how he went in and took her, you know, as one of his wives and covered that, tried to cover it up. But it says that God was displeased with it. God was displeased with it. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. First Chronicles chapter 20. Everyone's there? Okay. Verse 1, it says this. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time that kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon and came and besieged Ramah. But David tarried at Jerusalem, and Joab smote Ramah and destroyed it. Now, does that sound familiar to you? That scripture? Isn't it almost the exact same scripture as I just read from Samuel? This is what I want you to get. In 2 Samuel, we read about how David is telling, or God is telling about David and how he went into battle and how he conquered it and he did all these things in Samuel. Then it goes into how he, you know, made a mistake with Bathsheba and sinned and did all that and tried to kill or had her husband killed and all that stuff. And then it ends up with, you know, the penalty of death for the firstborn, all kinds of stuff, just evil, evil, evil. But in Chronicles, you look at Chronicles, and God leaves out all of the things that happened with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah and having him killed. Now, we know the canon of scriptures is being pinned down by the Holy Spirit, by the power of Almighty God. We know that God didn't make a mistake in Chronicles here at all by leaving it out. We know those things happen. But in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, it goes from that first scripture, then it goes into not far after that how David conquered the giants. You see? What's happening is, in Samuel, that's how man looks at sin and evil and what happens. But in Chronicles, that's how God looks at things when we sin and do evil. Now, you might say, what do you mean about that? When God forgives, see, David had just done it in Samuel's and he had to record it. But in Chronicles, it's not recorded. You know why? Because God had already forgiven what had happened. That's where we stand with Jesus Christ. When God forgives us, he remembers it no more. That's why it could not be recorded in Chronicles, because God doesn't remember those things. And if he doesn't remember it, we don't have to remember it either. God forgave David by the power of the Holy Spirit. God forgave this man, and in the writings of the Chronicles, years later, it did not come up again because it had been forgiven by Almighty God. People, you need to get a hold of that. Don't let the devil bombard your mind and your spirit and your soul and who you are with the things that you did years ago or even yesterday. When it's under the blood, it's under the blood. When it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, he remembers it no more. And the devil cannot even torment the child of God if he takes his rightful authority in those areas. David had been set free. Yes, we know David made a mistake. And when I say mistake, he did evil. But he repented of those things. And in repentance, when it was brought up again in Chronicles years later, and it was starting to be pinned down again, God overlooked that thing because it was no more in the mind of Christ ever again, because it had been forgiven. Remember this, when you ask God to forgive you of the things that you have done and what I have done, that's evil in the sight of God. You know what? He remembers it no more. And I know that's hard for us because man remembers. We can't remember what we ate last night, but we can remember what evil was done 20 years ago. Because it's been etched in the minds of people. But let me tell you this, God remembers it no more. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The power of Almighty God lives in your soul. God has made you into a new creature in Christ, in who you are. You've been born again. God on the inside lives inside of us. The power of Almighty God. He remembers it no more. When the devil brings up stuff that happened 20 years ago or whatever it is, read that scripture and say, devil, my God remembers David's sin no more. And he remembers mine no more. Cut him with that sword. We have to rise up in the things of God. Cut him with that sword. It says in that sword, the word of God is a dividing. It cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's the power of Almighty God. God has come through Jesus Christ to bring us liberty and freedom into the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can walk around free from the things that try to entangle the child of God. See, God is the best one that can untangle things that man has tried to tangle us with. He's the one that unties it and throws it away. But man picks it up and tries to tie it. But God comes in and unties those things and throws it away. As we keep our faith in Christ and what he did in Calvary's cross. People, you should have shouted, because let me tell you, old Slewfoot never sleeps. And he tries to do whatever he can to destroy mankind, destroy womanhood, destroy children. I guess I know you've probably heard the last few states, Alabama, Mississippi, I think it is, and maybe another state that's trying to Missouri, that's trying to bring stop abortions to the best of their ability. You know, it's an amazing thing. You still have people rising up and saying, no, 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 no. We need to let it go forth. We need these things. Thank God righteousness is maybe coming back to our government. Thank God. And they see life, you know, as precious as God sees life. Sometimes the pendulum has to move. Because it shook me to my core when I saw those legislatures and people in New York and California praising and jumping and hollering and laughing and thanking who they were about the abortion thing that they had passed, that you can still have an abortion even after the baby has been born. You can still have it killed. That shook me. It was like, oh my, where have we gone to? Now, I know, you know, California is way off there, the land of fruits and nuts, you know, and crazy people. New York is really, honestly, the crazies too, you know, of liberals. That's true. That's true. And the conservatives live in the middle. You know, that's basically the truth. The conservatives live in the middle. And so, you know what? But these are the two outrageous. But still, God can move upon those situations And through that, because of the evil that rises up, God in the middle is taking and rising up states and governments that are saying, look, we're not going to allow this to happen anymore. That we're going to take a stand and we're going to stop what we can from happening in killing of these innocent, innocent babies. But look what God can do. Look what God can do. In Psalms 51, it talks about how David repented. Let's read some of that. Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Look at this. David was truly sorry. You know, sometimes you don't know if people are really truly sorry for what they've done. You don't know. You hope. But we know this, David was truly sorry. And was asking God for forgiveness. And God, in his infinite mercy, gave him the forgiveness that was needed to him. And which we all need forgiveness in all aspects of our life. Look at this. Psalms 51, it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak, and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. You, God of my salvation, in my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open you my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. You delight not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build you the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, and with burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then you shall offer bullocks upon your altar. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And David was worried. He said, please don't cast me away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And number 3, restore. Repentance, don't cast me away, and restore unto us. See, that's the kind of God we serve. Look at David. Look what God did. And not even bringing it back up. But David acknowledged what he had done. We have to acknowledge the things that we've done wrong. But God is a merciful God. And he comes and he forgives. He won't cast us away. His presence will be with us again. And also he'll restore us back to where we once were. In relationship to him. See, that's the thing that he's desiring most, is to make sure that our relationship to him is never faltering. It's never divided. But that it is always close to you. That doesn't mean we're perfect. And yes, a lot of times we might say something that we shouldn't say, maybe. Or do something we shouldn't do. But God is a merciful God that says, come unto me. come unto me, and let me tell you this, God is a God that will work on our behalf to restore that relationship between us and him constantly. Repentance brings the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't know, Lord. Or you're not sure about something. Let me tell you this. Repentance brings the presence of the Lord. A broken and contrite heart towards him. That repentance and follow. I am so sorry. You're saying that what you did and what I did was wrong. And it was against the word of God. And when it's against the word of God, the word is who? Jesus. And it is against him. And we're saying, Father, forgive us for what we've done that's against you. And his presence and his power comes in and restores his. You know, I've heard some people have a hard time forgiving themselves for whatever situations. It's like they hold themselves in bondage. Don't hold yourself in bondage. Say, Lord, forgive me. Just keep saying, you might say, well, I don't feel a difference. You just keep on. You just keep saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And let me tell you, the presence and the power of God, because you see, that moves the Holy Spirit. When David said, please don't cast me away, O Lord, that moved the Spirit of God. When David said, restore me, that moved the presence of God. See, we need to get in tune with the things of God. Lord, your will be done. See, the will of the Father was for David to what? Repent. He had to pay a price. But he had to repent first. And God can lessen those things if he wants to later on. The repercussions of those things. That's up to God and how he wants to do that. But let me tell you, we got to get to a place where we have a repentant heart. That when we sense that we've done something, whatever it is, that we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord God, help me in that area. And the presence of God comes in and restores us back unto him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in 1 Chronicles, look at this. In 1 Chronicles, after God did not bring up about what he did, God brought up something else about David, which is amazing. Now, we're looking at from how God looks at us as we repent of those things that need to be repented of. Look at this in verse 4. And it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibekah the Hushathite killed Zephi, that was of the children of the giant that were subdued. Now remember, he was a giant. Remember Goliath? Goliath was a giant. How did those giants come into being? That you can look it up in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. That's when the evil world or the demon spirits, the demons came with women on earth and had children. This is where the giants came from, okay? Not a good scenario. And remember, the devil did this to try to stop Jesus from being born. He wanted to desecrate and destroy the human race. Look at verse 5. And there was war against the Philistines, and Elkanah, the son of Jair, killed Lebna, the brother of Goliath. Another giant was killed. The Gittite, whose spear, staff, was like a weaver's beam. And yet again, there was war at Gath, where a man of great stature, another giant, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. You call that a monster, huh? He also was the son of a giant. Another giant was killed. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, killed him. There were born unto the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. Now here you see, there are many times, here we see God being a good God to David. Here we see that God didn't bring up that other stuff, but God brought up David, how he was killing of the giants. Now we know this, David killed Goliath, but we see another four of them here or so, where David had some part of it in killing these giants. These were the last of the giants that were upon the earth. Thank God. There's no more here. No more here. Some people may look like giants, but they're not because of how tall or whatever they are, their stature. But here we see how God brings in David and talks about how he conquered under the Spirit of God. Let me tell you this. Under the Spirit of the Lord, the giants can be. Under the Spirit of the Lord, the giants in your life can be conquered. Those things that maybe eat at you, that you know that is not good, the giant can only be killed by the Holy Spirit. And by placing our faith in Christ and what Jesus did. There's always, it seems like, in every person's life, a stronghold that the enemy has in people's lives. You know, there's always at least one. I mean, some people have many of them. But at least one stronghold. When I say a stronghold, I mean a hold where the enemy just has the power and the authority in that area of our lives and in that area of our hearts. And they say, well, why does God allow that to happen? Because he wants us to know that it's only through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary that we can conquer those things, those giants in our lives. That we cannot do it on our own. Just like we cannot have our own salvation. Salvation only comes through who? Jesus Christ. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself to go to heaven and to live a life pleasing unto the Lord. Just as we cannot save ourselves, we cannot overcome the giants that are in our hearts and in our lives. But let me tell you, I can point you to the one. Because David killed those physical giants, but God can kill those spiritual giants in your heart and in my heart and in our lives and in your life by the power of Almighty God. That it's only through him and what he did at Calvary's cross as we trust him to conquer those things. You might say, well, Pastor, I put my faith in Christ for salvation, but I don't know if I put my faith in him to conquer those things. Well, look. Tell him, say, Lord, I give you my life, and I put you at the center of my life, and I trust you that you will overcome those things. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I do the same thing tomorrow? You ask for forgiveness, and you put your faith back in him again. You do it till it comes. You do it till it comes. You do it till it comes. You never give up. As Christians, we get too lazy sometimes. And we give up so easy. God is looking for men and women that will say, I'll take up the cross, Lord, and I'll fight for you. And I won't look back. That was David. And let me tell you, the way God looks at us, is oftentimes how different from how we look at ourselves. God looked at David as the giant killer. And you can read in another part of Chronicles where it talks about all these giants, where at one time David needed some help, and God sent him a man to help him. It just says David went into battle with a giant. And I think as it was Abathar, the man came helping. See, we don't realize that God doesn't send us out to battle just to do it on our own, to live this Christian life on our own. But God is there by the Holy Spirit. God is there by even bringing people and humans to help us. And it doesn't even say how this man killed the giant on David's behalf, because they thought David was dead. But God came in and sent somebody to help him. We're not alone, people. The devil tried to make you think we're all alone. We're not alone. We're all in the kingdom together. We're all fighting for one another. We're all blessing the kingdom of God. We're all praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be a giant killer. Take care of those things on the inside of you that you know does not please the Lord. You know those things that the Spirit of God has been convicting you about. Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. And then you go on and you say, Father, build me up. Help me to be that giant killer. Lord God, I put my faith in you. Give me the rocks to kill my giant, Lord God. Or the sword, Lord God, to cut the head off so that giant can never rise up again on the inside of me. That's the power of Almighty God saying, and God is saying, okay, you're at the place I want you to be. You can't do it. I know it. But I can do it. Talk about it. Ooh, amen. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. A giant killer of David. That's the power of Almighty. Let God clean us up and make us into what He leads us to be. There's many things that God wants to do in each and every one of us, in each and every one of our hearts, in each and every one of our lives. Let the power of God move in that situation. Let Him build you up. Let Him show you scriptures that will feed your soul. Let Him give you a song that will edify Him. Let Him give you a word from the Word of God that will soothe the soul of the inside of you and will build you up and make you strong. David, giant killer. And in doing that, he rid, can you imagine, God used David, a little shepherd, killed the lion, killed the bear, to rid the earth of the giant. That they can never come back. He used David. There are many people's souls in bondage, and God is wanting us to pray, to push back the darkness. As ladies, as I talked last week, as you worship and you praise Him and you honor Him, and that's all of us now, pushing back the darkness. Pushing back. I cannot push back the darkness on my own. You cannot push darkness back on the world. We know darkness has come over our country, the whole world, people, honestly. It says in the last days that evil will rise up, but also that God will pour out His Spirit. But God is saying, come on, people, rise up. See, it's not in my name, it's not in my power, but it's in the name that comes forth out of my mouth, and it is the power of the tongue. By the power of the Spirit of God, pushing back the darkness and over the areas where we live, over the areas of our country that need to be set free by the power of Almighty God. God bless you. The giants, get rid of those things. Don't live with them. Sometimes they become comfortable. It's true. And we think it's just a part of our life. God has come to set us free, at liberty, freedom, not in bondage to anything. Don't The only bondage, if you want to put in bondage, should be to our Father. We're in bondage to Him. And that's not probably the word to use in the word. But that's just to Him, just towards Him, as we look towards Him. Kill those giants. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. Amen. You may stand, please. Lord, thank you, Jesus. As every hand is bowed, every eye closed, you just come. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so, and you'd like to do so with Facebook or anyone of you, would you please raise your hand so we can pray? And let's all pray together. No one in here has raised their hand, but you never know with Facebook, somebody watching. And let's pray this prayer. Yes. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, my God, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross. And you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord and my God. Your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Amen. This way. Just want to tell you that I appreciate you and love you. And we pray you have a